plate a potential nugget.
I want to link it to one of the things that I discussed with a fellow London Business School faculty member, Herminia Ibarra.
Mm-hmm.
She talks about this notion of liminality when it comes to our identity, especially mm-hmm. when we are in transitions.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about how we could take advantage of the highlights reel to help us get a better grip on our identity or identities, if you will? Any nuance yeah. there?
The first thing I want to do is I want to point out, I'm going to call it an area of confusion for me, but then I'll point to where I think my own research and my own teaching is going. Okay. Herminia talks about this authenticity paradox, which is a beautiful concept that she's known for, which is a lot of times when we start doing something new, it feels awkward and like it's not authentic. And then that holds us back from becoming great. It holds us back from changing into a bigger, better, more impactful identity because we're handcuffed to what we used to be. Now, when we talk about playing to our strengths, and you know, I've had good discussions with Herminia about this, what sometimes people think is, oh, well, playing to your strengths just means like kind of mailing it in, like almost hanging out with what you're already good at. And therefore, you know, you're kind of like holding yourself back. And what I'm talking about is stretching into your strengths. What I'm really interested in when you talk about the liminality. So the liminality idea would be neither betwixt or between. For a little while, we have to just play. We aren't our new person yet. We have to play our way into that. And the way I'm thinking about that is thinking hard about what unique strengths we have to make an impact, and then asking the question, how can I grow that impact? How can I use the strengths and the abilities that I have to make an even bigger effect on the world, a more positive impact on other people? And I have to tell you, that's what drags us positively into new strengths. See, in my own opinion, when we play to our strengths, it's energizing. Our strengths strengthen us. When we use our strengths, we feel strengthened. And so that's quite, it gives you a resilience and it makes you robust. And so when we can say playing to our strengths in a new area, it doesn't go perfect at first, but it's energizing to try. Whereas when we try to shore up our limitations and kind of improve what we're not good at, it actually can be very detracting. It can even burn people out if you do it sort of too much. If you're over-focused on your weaknesses and trying to become average, it actually can wear us out year in and year out. And so I think that in that long-winded answer I tried to give there are these little nuggets of not continuing to do exactly the behavior you've done in the past, but to use your strengths to improve your impact. I think that that's sort of my best answer forward on this issue. But I'm really happy for you to challenge or, you know, even just like downright disagree or push, because this is an area that I would still say it has some elements of confusion for me.
You clearly have spent a lot more time studying this than I have. But the way I see it, Dan, I think strengths are a little bit around the situations where you make an impact.
Mm-hmm.
Identity is a little bit of who am I, mm-hmm. Kind of a plane. So I was wondering if this exercise of the highlights reel can throw light on the who am I plane, especially a lot of my work is with leaders around midlife, right? Now, of course, we are moving away from the midlife to the anytime life crisis, given the paradigm of careers these days. But that's where I was coming from. But you're right, there's no clean answer. I guess what I take away from you is the highlights reel tells us where we are distinctive in terms of when we use our strengths to make a big difference to the people around us. and then we play with it to discover who we are and move forward possibly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does that
some
make sense?
Those things, it does. And some of the things are right in between there too. And that's where I'm really happy to allow the confusion, you know, because life isn't clear and identity definitely is not clear. And I think that these are very cloudy concepts in some ways. Easy maybe for an academic to define, but maybe not always so easy to see it as a differentiation in real life. So one thing that's really, I'll just say whatever words we use, I'm not sure, but I will say one thing that I've been really happy to do for people when we create these highlight reels is certain things jump off the page to people and they capture people in almost an emotional way, beyond the words, beyond the concepts, beyond the sort of the cognitive consideration, almost like that makes my heart sing, or seeing that I've had that impact on those people calls to me. Or when I think back to those moments, it makes me feel more alive. And, you know, I think that we are very complex machines, us humans. And sometimes as an academic, I can tend to be overcognitive. But when I work with people that are actually trying to make improvements in their world using the highlight reel things, let me give you an example. You know, because to really show you what I mean, there was somebody, and I mentioned this person in the book, there's somebody that got their highlight reel. And in all of the stories from family members and friends and uncles and friends from high school, curiosity and this sort of natural, insatiable asking why came up. And they loved it about this person. And he was always inventing things and playing and like trying to figure things out and being curious. But none of his work colleagues brought that up at all. They mentioned like punctual and efficient and this. And so it's really interesting. He started thinking more about why he doesn't bring that to work. And why doesn't he bring his curiosity to work? And you know, he talked about how he's now a partner in a consulting firm and so on. He starts meetings really abruptly and he looks to get, you know, very efficient. And his life got so crowded that efficiency became his major watchword. But really, since he was a kid, he has been one of these sort of curious investigatory minds. So what he started doing after, you know, kind of realizing that he wasn't bringing the best part of himself to work, he just started playing with that self. Like, you know, he started, for example, in a meeting, instead of just diving right in and being on the agenda, he would start by asking some question of somebody in there that he was just genuinely curious about. It might be like, what movie you've seen recently, or did you hear about this new news about, you know, blockchain or whatever it might be, just to be curious. And or if he was meeting with a client, so he was trying to, like, you know, meet with a you know, CEO of a firm, just being more curious about like the industry and what is the person seen that's hot and what's not, but just being curious rather than like work for efficiency kind of thing. And he said, well, number one, he said the meeting started going a lot better. That he enjoyed them more, yes, but like other people seemed to enjoy them more too, and they just seemed more useful. It felt like the work became more giving, but also people liked him more. People enjoyed him as a human. Well, I don't know if it's because he was more authentic or because he was just being more curious and inquisitive. But the bottom line is, a year later, things were going better for him and he was much happier. And it's just one of those things where he'd gotten into his head a narrative that curiosity had no place in his job as a partner of the big consulting firm and, you know, numbers, 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 revenue, sales, you know. And, you know, I don't know if I'm even making sense to you right now, because I just wanted to tell that story to kind of reveal that as we reach these different career transitions, sometimes a good strong dose of this is who you are when your heart's singing, and this is who you grew up being. You know, this is what you've been as a cohesive person since you were a boy or a girl, you know. So I don't know. I don't know if that is useful to you or if that's even what you wanted me. Anyway, ask more questions if I can make it more clear.
It makes a lot of sense. Dan, I hear you, and I do think there are cues hidden in the way we live some of our other domains, right, in terms of how we are with our children or how we are with our friends, and bring some of what makes us come alive from one domain, take that to another domain. So I think in a way, this also, what you're saying also reinforces the interconnectedness of things, right? I think as I do my research in this field, I'm realizing the value of just the interconnectedness of things, right? Who we are as a parent, as a son, as a spouse, as a colleague. It's just that you know, it's all one interconnected whole. So to your point, I do think there's a great opportunity for us to bring our best selves from one domain and bring that to bear in other domains as well. So point very well taken.
This is such a nuanced and a profound point that Dan makes. If I could relate this to my journey, I transitioned from McKinsey to pursuing executive search at Egon Zehnder around 2009 because I felt I had that people orientation which I could double down on in a search context. And I'm truly happy that I did that. And I feel it was possibly the right exit post McKinsey. I remember a conversation with one of the partners in the office around the 4-year mark. The person asked me what were the high points and low points in the last few months. A search consultant who was enjoying his profession would have typically said things like, when I closed this search and found a great candidate, or when I won this mandate from this prestigious organization, etc. But for me, strangely enough, I didn't quite get my highs from these kinds of moments. My highs were moments where I counseled leaders on their journey or development, and they came back with gratitude for what I'd shared with them. Another set of highs were when I published a white paper or a thought piece around some theme in leadership. The low points for me were when I had to negotiate an offer with a candidate or a client, or when I had to pitch a role to a candidate or pitch a candidate to a client. I realized that I was lousy at sales and lousier at negotiation. This partner looked me in the eye when he heard me say all this and said, "This is great, but you can't let what gives you energy come in the way of focusing on what drives business in a search context." And to me, that was a penny drop moment. I realized that I was getting energy from what's a category C item in the context of a search business, and I was getting drained at a category A item in search. As one of my friends put it, I felt I had more of a coaching mindset than a poaching mindset. And in a way, that was the crux of the transition I made about 5 years back. I realized that in search, I was spending too many man hours in an evaluative counterparty mode and in pitching mode. I felt I could be a lot more authentic if I could spend more time nurturing others, developing others. The other thing I realized that I was lousy at sales, but I was decent at having the discipline to do a few things consistently that could over time possibly act as marketing function for the work I do. In a way, that's the genesis of the podcast you're listening to, which is a labor of love for the long term, but also helps people build trust with what I do and what I stand for. It's still very early days in the journey, but back to what Dan says, I feel the journey has been about trying new behaviors and opportunities while stretching into my strengths. It's a messy journey, I would have to say, but I'm glad I gave it a shot. Time will tell how the story plays out, but all I can say is so far so good, and I would recommend this to others who feel that disconnect between their strengths and what their role entails them to spend time on. Thank you for listening. For more, please visit playtopotential.com.